Firing in the
way. Who's the best show here?
Peck Show!
Who's the best show here?
Peck Show!
That's good. That's the best one yet.
It's about fucking time someone else is.
Pizza, pizza.
Big O! Showtime!
When you were making egg foo young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing tech show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that a little get bad. But the strongman go direct to DLNGS.org. And I see channels and Linux State.net. Bound tech show. Just sit right there, cause the castle's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 920 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Joel.
Hello.
We have Joe.
Hello.
And we have me. Pat's not here, so I hope he's doing all right. This is the, from around here, this is the last official week of summer vacation. Because apparently from... Like, everybody else is back to school already, but around here, I think it's largely because it's a vacation area and all that's going on.
Yep.
They don't usually start it until after the first Tuesday after Labor Day.
To do K through 12 stuff anymore. I'm really glad about that.
So, anyway, here we are, September 1st, the excitement. And you say you have stuff to talk about.
I do.
I'm all ears.
Well, I finally got all of my stuff under one roof. We cleaned out the storage unit on Saturday. So it means I have my Atari 800XL. It's actually unboxed and the cartridges are sitting in it. But I'm waiting for some parts to get here. I've got a power supply coming and a RGB to it'll do composite slash... I'm trying to think, composites or S video output to a TV that we bought Sunday. Sunday I bought actually two of them, although my son's not gotten his set up yet. I've got one in his room. Technically, I think we need to get what I may do with that is maybe tomorrow night I'll pull it out and put it like in the kitchen or somewhere. Just to get all the things set up on it, like Fubo TV, because both TVs are 43-inch 4K TVs. They have Roku built into it, so I just got to get the things like Fubo and Netflix and that set up. Well, he probably won't watch Netflix. I probably could just set up Fubo, and then he'd be happy, because that's how we watch TV in our house, Fubo TV, and he watches the Weather Channel. And it's prime season for that too, with a hurricane. So hurricane's coming. So I gotta see. I may have to buy something else to help interface it. Well, I have to look on the back of a new TV.
Even if you don't, pay for a Plex account, if you can sign into Plex, I mean, they have plenty of free stuff that you can watch even without a server set up. Access to Crackle, access to podcasts. You could start using Absolutely. That as well.
Yeah, or I can set up an MB on it too, and he can watch any of my Blu-ray rips that I have on my open media server. So, but yeah, I got to get that set up for him. He was kind of irritating. He actually needs like a TV stand to put it on anyway. Right now, he doesn't really have that. I don't really have it either. But I'm making it work. One of the desks I had up at the apartment and at the old house is where it's sitting right now. I can actually see it from here. And the nice thing is I don't really need the remote. I could use my phone for the remote because the Roku app works great with that.
Wait, you can use your phone on the TV for the Roku app?
Yes.
Phone. Okay. Here's my question about that. How have they gotten the TVs with the built-in apps and stuff? Because I remember They used to be kind of crappy for a long time when they first came out and everything.
This is the third one I have, and they all work great.
I do have a Roku TV, and that works really well. And I know that one day it might stop getting updates, but at that time I'll either hook up a new Roku to it and it'll do the exact same thing, or I'll hook a computer up to it and it'll do the exact same thing.
Or you can get an 8K TV. You know, it's going to be a long time before they get rid of any of these, because it's fairly... Now, I will say our 43-inchers, the one in my office and one in Luke's room, are... they set it in a box. They're Element brand, so they're cheap, you know.
Let me ask you a question about 8K TVs.
Well, there's no really content yet.
Yeah, there's no content, but even when there is it really going to make any difference to your old eyes or my old eyes halfway
probably
across
not.
The room? 4K, 8K. I still
probably
ain't going to be able to see the pixels.
I'm with you on that, but but you know, whatever. Yeah, you know, it's there's always been something new down the road, you know.
Monocular, you know, televisions.
Yeah. Something like that, who knows? But the other thing I need to do is I need to look in the back of the TV, which I know there's HDMI on it. I'm not sure if there's composite. There might be. If there's not, I need to get a converter. They'll convert the composite
to
the
HDMI. They're not expensive.
Right.
$20.
No, they're
25
not.
Bucks
yeah.
for a decent one.
Yep. So, and I even got some, like, I don't know where the original screws for the Atari, because I had pulled it apart and cleaned it inside. And I didn't lose the screws here, but I lost the screws somewhere between my old house and storage, so I don't know where they are. So I've got some replacement screws that will work. The power supply is going to be a modern switching power supply. I got it from 8-Bit Classics. That's a website. And I may try this as a backup because the Atari 800 XL needs a 5-volt power supply. There's actually companies out there, not companies, but people, retro people, that make the power supply cord. They'll connect to the power supply input, and the other end's a USB, so you can just put a 2-amp USB power supply on it and power it that way as well. Either way, you don't want to hook, if you have, like, and I do have the original power supply, it's a little risky hooking up a power supply from the 80s to this, because it's probably got leaky caps in it somewhere. Heck, the computer might have some leaky caps, but those I can fix. If the power supply has a leaky cap, it's going to short out the board and fry everything, and so that I can't fix. But, you know, because odds are I can't get an ANTIC chip or CTIA chip. I think it's CTIA. Or a Pokey chip. So I'm going to go with a modern power supply with it. And I do have one of the ProLine joysticks. But I decided, why not? Because the parts aren't expensive. I've got a broken... I don't have one here yet, but I'm working on... I got a broken Atari one from eBay. And I'm going to cannibalize it for the power cord. And I'm going to wire it to a arcade-style joystick, arcade-style button, and 3D print a case and make my own joystick. It'll be better than the Atari original. So I'll have my retro setup here for the Atari... working hopefully by the end of Labor Day. I don't know if I'll have all the parts or not here by then. I know the joystick should get here tomorrow. The buttons arrived today. And actually, it wasn't just one button. It was like a six-pack of them. So I can actually literally choose what color button I want. I'm going with red, of course. But I've got the bottom... The bottom's pretty much designed. I've got to finish the design on the top. I really don't want to do that until the joystick gets here, because I got to think about how I'm going to mount the stick in the case. I don't really want to necessarily do the bolts through the top. I kind of want to make the bolts hidden so that you don't see them. So I have to think about how exactly I want to put it in there. So we'll see. I may end up doing it through the top, which means I'm going to have to do some holes in the top in Fusion 360. I'm designing it completely in Fusion 360. So, but, you know, those old Atari joysticks, even when they were new back when we was kids, don't really last that long. But if that doesn't work, then what I may do is look at getting, you can use the Genesis pad with the Atari. Those work on the Atari. The other thing that I could use with it is I could get something like, there's a converter that you can plug it into the Atari and then plug in a standard Nintendo NES.
They got him.
Yep, this time they actually got him.
They got him. They're yeah. Like, nope.
Yeah, they pulled his internet.
No joystick
they
for
said,
you, pal.
Yep. No love.
No, I don't know. I just all of a sudden disconnected from Mumble and reconnected. Oh, well. That's weird.
You lost your internet connection.
Just for, I don't know. I don't think I lost the internet connection. I think something just happened. Who knows? But there's multiple ways I can get joysticks. I'd rather try building my own because I've never done it before. And it may help me, maybe encourage me to, and eventually build a RetroBuy setup. We shall see.
I've looked into the joystick stuff, and it seems like a fun thing to do.
Oh yeah, it's not hard. I mean, I figure, you know, if it comes out nice enough, I may try, like, I don't know if I'd put, like, an Etsy store up and make them for others. That's a thought, but I don't think I'd sell a lot, and I don't think that people would want what I would want to charge for them, because I would probably start around 50, maybe a little bit more, because, see, the joystick that I bought is 10. The buttons were kind of cheaper, but it was 10 for 6 buttons. So, and then the design work, it would already have done for myself, of course, but, you know, the case itself would be pennies, but it is hours. Like a bottom right now takes about 12 hours to print. So, plus I don't have the design perfected yet. So, yeah, you know, I don't know what it would charge for something like that. There are actual cases on Thingiverse that are already done. Like, I can just download it and use it. But I want to make it kind of as much like the Atari joystick as I can.
What are you going to use for a brain?
There's no brain.
Pro Micro?
No, you don't need any of it. Just tuck the switches right up to the Atari. It's digital input. It's not analog.
Okay.
So, you know, those are digital. So basically it's a four-way stick. That's really all it is. If you open up an old Atari joystick, especially the original one that came with the 2600.
There's no pod. It's just
connected. A board. Yep. There's a silicon board that has basically dimples. Dipple style switches on it, and then the stick is a nylon piece, and it has the rubber boot that goes over it. And basically, when you push it one direction, it presses one switch. When you press it to the left, it presses the left switch. Press it to the right, it presses the right switch, so on and so forth. Same thing happens with the trigger, because there's only one button required on an Atari joystick. So there's really no brain or anything needed on that for that, for the Atari-style joystick. Now, if I wanted to do something like you can use with a PC, a little bit different story. But you say that, you might need something like our Arduino or something. So it translates it down to game port / USB. But we'll try it. It might be fun. It might be a pain in the ass. But it didn't cost much for me to try. And if it works out well, hey, I got a joystick customized to my liking. So, and I'm trying to make it the form factor as much like the original 2600 joystick as possible. But because the arcade style button and joystick is going to take up need a little bit more room behind it, the base is going to be a little bit larger in every dimension. Which is fine by me because I got a big ass hand. So. Which reminds me of, I think my last show, I actually got to record a show yet for this Saturday, but the last show I did on Living in the Shade of an 80s Arcade was all on weird ass controls from the 80s and in game peripherals. Like, at one point, there was a company
that Linus Tech Tips do a recent one on controllers?
He may have. Some of the ones I did, like, I talked about the Power Glove. It's so bad, you know, but...
yeah.
It was a horrible controller. It didn't really work out well. But then, like, in the 26...
You basically took one of your hands completely out of the control.
Yep. One of the interesting peripherals for the Atari 2600 was basically a block of wood with a cutout for your joystick. I think it was called a stick board or something like that. I got it right on my show, I know. But I just thought... That's the one thing gaming over the years has never really changed is the amount of stupid peripherals there are for game systems. Like, remember the Wii, they had all these little add-ons to the
Wii?
Oh,
yeah, like the tennis racket. And
and they really served no functional... They basically just made your Wiimote feel like a tennis racket.
It looked cosmetic.
It was completely cosmetic. It didn't really do anything. Yeah, the only one that was kind of useful was the one that came with Mario Kart when you bought it. That was a little
steering wheel.
My son loved that thing. I never used it when I played the game, but he slapped his controller in it and he loved playing that with that wheel. the Wii was especially bad for that. But then like. Then there was like the Game Genie cards and stuff where you can cheat and really weird stuff. Like I know, did you know that one of the first online gaming services was for the Atari? It's essentially was a special cart and you paid for a service and you can download games with a modem. At probably a blazing 300 baud.
That didn't go very far, did it?
No.
I recall hearing there weren't very many games for that.
There's maybe six games in total or something stupid like that. It was an interesting peripheral and one that I just, you know, I never knew it at the time. There's also somebody that had like I think there was also one that had another special cartridge adaption or adaptation, I should say, where it lets you hook a tape recorder to the cartridge, and then you could load the games to the cartridge with your tape recorder, you know, just like you did with like the Commodore 64. And I don't know if the, I don't think the TI-99, did that ever had a cassette interface? I think it did.
Yeah, no, that was a cheap way to get programs.
That's how Dan did it, because his dad wouldn't buy him any cartridges, right?
I had to sneak them in. But one of the nice things about the TI is they had it pretty well designed that you could use any kind of tape recorder. You didn't have to use a specific one. Like, I think the Commodore 64 was the Commodore 64 that had some issues with their tape recording system, that it wasn't very reliable.
I think it was.
One of those early on systems that had a lot of problems.
I know the Atari, like my Atari, when I was a kid, we couldn't afford the floppy disk, but we did eventually. It was post game crash, so we got our. I was in high school when we got our Atari 800 XL. The one I have isn't that one. I think my dad still has it. All right, but anywho, there was this vendor that was at the mall, the local mall at the time in York, where I finally finished high school. That vendor had like a whole bunch of cassette games for the Atari. He had the cassette peripheral, and he also had several of the Atari quality printer that was very similar to it basically reminded me of a calculator on steroids, so it had the rubber wheels with the letters on it, not a daisy wheel. So in fact, when I bought this one on eBay, it had that with it. But like, I just touched the roller with my finger, and the roller's just disintegrated because it's 30-year-old rubber, you know. So I threw that in the trash almost right away. But the same thing happened with the floppy disk. So, but when I was a kid, we didn't have the cassette, and the Atari cassette. Well, I don't think you could just use any cassette. The ones I used were strictly the Atari-branded ones, which had SIO ports out the back. The SIO was really kind of fun because you really only ever needed one port on your computer, because the way they were designed was you daisy-chained the peripheral. So you'd attach one cable to the cassette player, then another cable to the printer, and Atari would just figure it all out. I think there was like a dip switch on each of the peripherals so that you can change the address of them. So, but in any event, you rarely had to do that because the discs were always one code, the cassette was another code, and the printers were another. But so we had the cassette player, I had the printer. And Atari also made one that was very similar to, it was a kind of a tiny plotter is what it was. It had a wider, paper roll, very similar to a calculator, but wider, all right? And it had three ballpoint pen heads, so you can do multiple plotters that way. It wasn't very useful for actually printing code or printing documents like a resume or something like that, but it was fun. You can actually do like the spirograph designs and stuff on pieces of paper. It's one of the neater printers they had on the Atari. But the cassette, I just remembered I'd finish homework and then the very next thing I would do is start loading a cassette game on the Atari and go downstairs and eat dinner. And by the time we ate dinner, that game was ready to go. So, and I played I think the one I played was, I want to say Miner 49er.
I remember 49er.
Yeah. I don't know if it was that one or if it was, I forget. It was a miner of character of some sort, But that one was one I had. I had a whole bunch. Some of them really sucked. So when I didn't feel like playing a cartridge game, I would load up one off the cassette and play a game. And it really did take about 30, 40 minutes to load that freaking card game into memory. It was not fun. But
40 minutes?
At least.
Holy mackerel. I think the longest one that I ever had was like 3 minutes.
Right. It took a long time. It could, depending on, well, you got to remember, too. See, how much memory did the TI-99/4A have? I can't remember. It was like 32K? Or 16K? I don't know. The Atari's had 64K, at least the one I had. So.
It had 16 kilobytes of RAM.
Right. Yep. So that's why it only took you that long. It took me a lot longer. But on a related topic, there's actually a brand new game for the Atari 8-bit computers. The 8-bit guy has wrote a game, started on the Commodore PET, ported to the Commodore 64, and now it's been ported to the Atari 8-bit, the Attack of the Petsky Robots. So I may buy that. I don't know. Before I do, though, I want to see if I can get the, instead of, because he was showing on his show that he ships floppies. I don't have a working floppy drive at the moment. And I don't even know if I want to bother buying one, because any of the floppy drives you buy now are 30 or 40 years old. Good luck repairing them. I may get an SIO to SD adapter on down the road so that I can basically just put the floppy. That works. It's made by a guy in Poland. He goes by the name Lotharek. And it's essentially like an Arduino and an SIO cable going into the Arduino. And then the other side of the Arduino has a SD card on one side, then on top it has an LCD and several buttons. So you basically turn that on before you do the computer. You select the image that you want to load, and then you turn on the computer. So then once you do that, the game starts to load as if it was a traditional floppy right off the SD card. And the nice thing is you can fit almost the whole library on an 8 gig card easy. But that's an alternative to loading floppy drives. So that's something I might get, and I have to look and see if he'll offer the digital image itself, because I could go and buy. In fact, that's one of those things where I would go get a floppy drive and then make the image. That way, other folks can use it. If they wanted to, I could just send that to the 8-bit guy so that he can have it. If he doesn't already have it that way, that's honestly how he should do it. Because floppy drives, you know, they're not, no one's making new ones anymore. It's not like I can go out and buy a brand new Atari 1050 and have it work. You know, anything I get off of eBay is likely going to need a repair. Usually the rubber drive belts and those aren't easy to find, and a true story about the Atari floppy drives, and this is probably why I never had one when I was a kid. The Atari floppy drives have a 6502 on board the floppy drive as well, and that's the CPU that the Atari uses. So it basically had a computer in a floppy drive.
That must have made it quite pricey.
Yeah, they were almost more than the computers were itself themselves at the time, if I remember right. So that's why I never had one when I was a kid. It was expensive. You know, you got to remember, my dad was working a job in construction, and he made good money, but he didn't make definitely didn't make what I make. But that's going to be fun getting that going. And then I think next retro computer I want to try and find is I want to get an Apple IIc if I can find one, but they're up there. I mean, they're talking $300 to $400 because that's. I didn't have the 2C when I was a kid, but I used the Apple II constantly. All my schools, yeah, the 2 and the 2E, yeah. Yeah, well, and the library, too. I remember when I lived in Cleveland, I'd ride my bike over to the library because I usually had a reservation to play with the computer. So I'd play games like Carmen Sandiego and...
Oregon Trail.
Yep, those games, yep. But,
all the classics.
Oh, yeah.
That and all the typing games.
Mm-hmm. So, like, right now my printer's printing a, I found on Thingiverse a stand for Atari EPIC cartridges. So it'll hold four of them. And it kind of does a stair-step thing, which is kind of nice.
Cool.
I tried printing it last night, and... when I first got up here this morning, I noticed the back leg had, because it has like an arch, and then there's a back leg. And I think what had happened is, as I was printing it, the back leg, it didn't like completely fail, but what happened is, because it wasn't adhering.
It lifted, yeah.
It lifted, and it printed fine, it was printing fine, but... it kind of was like a rocking horse a little bit.
Yeah, I tried to print 6 headphone hangers all at once, and they were long, flat headphone hangers. And without an enclosure, it just wasn't really working out in my favor.
Yep. Usually when that happens with me, and I think in this case it's exactly why it happened, was I just used the skirt, not the brim. Here.
Yeah, I could either switch to brim or raft, and that would probably work better.
Yep. So I've got it printing now with a brim, and then I've got I just got a roll of black filament today for the joystick. So when that first cartridge holder is done, I'll switch over to the black and get the bottom going.
I got 2 rolls of PET G, and I can print small things with PET G without an enclosure. But I don't want to try and print larger things with PETG without an enclosure.
I also have got my, the first 3D printer I had, my i3 Mini, going back up and running too, and it's running a little bit better. What I need to do on that is, I don't think I need to replace the fan, but I need to look, open up the bottom. When it first starts up, that bottom fan will get really noisy. But then I'll like kind of take my hand and stop the fins on the fan for a second or two, and then let it go, and it starts back up, and then the noise goes away. So I think I'm starting to wonder if there's like a wire or a cable that's dragging on the fan or something, or something that, or maybe I just need to tighten it.
That just happens to fans. Yeah, you need to take it apart, lube it up, put it back together.
Yep. And I may look into that. The one thing I'd love, I know they brought out a version 2 of the i3 Mini, which adds a heated bed, which I would really love to have. Not that I would print anything but PLA on this one anyway, because it's small. I mean, it's not very big.
And he's gone again.
Gone again.
He really gets going, doesn't he?
He does. Yeah. Kick his ass out of here. There he is.
Oh, dang it. It did it again. That was weird.
Are you on wireless? I mean, Wi-Fi?
Yeah, I'm on wireless. And it never dropped. I'm on wireless. And it usually, I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
Maybe it's that new TV.
It's not even on. Well, it's in its... you know, most modern TVs are always on, but it's in its, like, you know, off state, if you want to call
it. Are you on your laptop on wireless?
Yeah. I'm always on my laptop on wireless.
Brand new router?
No. I don't know. It that's the only thing that dropped. I have IRC on and that didn't drop. Just Mumble dropped.
Boom.
But get my retro gaming on. I can't wait to play some of my old games.
Well, K-Wisher, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to hear about this multiple times. I know that annoys you, but I'm going to keep talking about it because I find it exciting.
There you go.
No, what
are you talking about?
I got Manjaro installed on the PinePhone.
Oh.
Manjaro Plasma.
Nice.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm running it off the microSD card, and I think that might be some of the slowness issues that I'm getting here and there. Other than, you know, it being slow hardware and running really hot and the battery not lasting very long. But let me tell you, it's really great actually having a command line that does something, unlike the Ubuntu one. I can actually do updates. I can actually install actual programs. I installed SSHFS and I mounted a location from my server onto the phone and then used VLC to play a movie. Didn't play very well, but it played. I even used compression and it still didn't play very well, so I'm looking at that. Maybe I'll try a lower quality movie and see what happens. And Plex using, I tried Midori because I installed Midori, and then I tried the one that they had built in whose name I can't remember right this second. But and Plex did not work very well in either one. Now, YouTube played a lot better in Manjaro than it did Ubuntu, so... Yeah.
Can you make phone calls with it still?
Yeah, I'm sure if I put a SIM card in it, I could. Oh. I haven't logged into my Google Voice yet either to try that out. But no dedicated Google Voice app for that. I have to check and see if there's a Google Voice Linux desktop or if it's just a web app. Probably just a web app. But yeah, I'm liking Manjaro a whole lot better than Ubuntu. Ubuntu Touch.
How hard was it to get it on there?
It's not. I mean, just use Etcher and download the image and write it to a microSD card, put the microSD card in, and voila.
Wait, this wasn't the one that had the 10 terabyte or whatever it was thing that you were talking about last week.
No, that's a different image. That was an image for the Pi of Ubuntu. It wasn't snappy on that one. It was just regular Ubuntu desktop I had on there, and I had a 64 gig USB stick that I had imaged, and then I was trying to take that 64 gig stick and make it so that I could put it alongside other operating systems onto a regular hard drive using Berry Boot.
Right.
Berry Boot will take any image. And yeah, that didn't work, and I haven't found a fix for that because I've been busy with the kids' stuff and work and all the other things that go on with life.
Oh, but you had time to install Manjaro on your...
Yeah, I could do that during a meeting.
Yeah, no.
I mean, seriously.
No.
Yeah. Download it, run Etcher, burn it, turn it on. But yeah, I did have some issues when I first got it started with the initial update because some of the repos had changed or something like that. And then so I had to do a fix and then the updates work correctly. I still get errors thrown whenever I restart it saying one of the updates was broken, but it works just fine and it does more updates. So...
Wait, is this just stock Manjaro, or is it a specific spin?
It's Manjaro Plasma.
Okay.
Specific for the PinePhone.
Oh, okay, so it is for the PinePhone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's not like you just took Manjaro and...
No. No, we're not quite there yet, but... I am definitely liking that, you know, being able to go down to command line and actually do things on the phone.
Now, do you have the keyboard for the PinePhone, or
I do not. I don't think that's available yet. The one that they're selling specifically for the PinePhone with the case and everything. I looked. I did not see it available yet. But I did hook up a Bluetooth keyboard to it and use that. Okay. It was a whole lot easier than trying to type on that screen.
I can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
There are some issues there with like keyboard settings where the keyboard shouldn't pop up if I'm using a regular keyboard, but it does. So I lose like half the screen to keyboard. It's not perfect, but I still think it's better than Ubuntu.
Because if I'm on the PinePhone homepage, and there's like a video called Showcase Early Developer Unit of PinePhone Keyboards. An interface. When you see that keyboard, it does look like it takes up like half the screen.
Yeah, the on-screen keyboard, it does. Yeah, the especially when you're in like landscape mode.
Right. That's what I'm seeing on there.
Yeah. And then there's some other small quirky issues with Manjaro and like switching applications, and it. And the phone in general, even with Ubuntu, Manjaro, either one, it just gets really warm and uncomfortable if you're planning on keeping it in your pocket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not a daily driver, but definitely fun to play with.
Yeah, fun to play. It's about as fun to play with as the NA-10 is nowadays.
Yeah.
There's somewhere in the house. I haven't actually moved anything more up here yet. There's a couple boxes that are inside already that I can do, but I got like three or four, I would say maybe four or five crates I need to go through. And I'm at the stage now where I need to look at some of the stuff and consider just getting rid of it. Like I might take some of it over to a thrift store. Yeah, because I got like I have a lot of the books that my mom has given me over the years of my childhood. Like I was really super into aviation and aerospace because who wasn't in the 80s for the most part, if you were a little geeky. So I had a lot of books about aircraft and stuff. It's like I don't really need to keep those around to remember my mom. So those are things I'm going to probably – I might pick one or two out. But it's like I haven't looked at them in 20 years. Do I really think I'm going to look at them now? Probably not. You know, but stuff like that. And then some stuff I might eBay. I'm not really interested in eBaying a whole lot of things. But, you know, it's just I don't really, you know, want to have it. It's not like I do have a room, but I don't really want all my stuff taking over my garage necessarily. But, you know, as it is, it's tight enough quarters in the garage. If I parked both cars in there, that's about all I could put in there. So I wouldn't have a place to put my camping gear and stuff like that. But, you know, so definitely going to have a goal of getting some of that stuff squared away this weekend, especially since it's a long weekend. But I may also go for, there's a Metro Park nearby. I may just grab the camera and go on one of the hikes that's down by the river.
Yeah. We were talking about hiking last weekend again on the in Eisenhower State Park again. But yeah, we ended up busy and it didn't happen. But there is a nice little 4-mile trail that's supposed to be like 4 or 5 miles away that I'm probably going to hit up.
I need to. The one thing I'm going to start doing now is planning for a trip in the spring, mostly because it's not that I mind camping in a tent. I'd just rather not. And usually what happens when we go up there, and what I'm talking about is Kelly's Island in Lake Erie. The state park has other alternatives than camping in it, and we don't have an RV yet. But I'm looking at, they have yurts and Sherman cabins. Sherman cabins and yurts both have a kitchen of sorts. I think it has a refrigerator, so I don't have to bring a cooler.
As long as they will
bring a cooler,
power. But
just because I want to bring food from home that we can cook in the cabin.
As long as they have power, you're good to go.
Yep,
you'll be able to sleep all night.
Yep. So and both of those do. The yurt I kind of prefer because it's a tiny bit more room in that. The Sherman cabin, they call them Sherman cabins because it's an Ohio thing. I don't know exactly why they call it. I have to go back and look. There is a reason. I know there's a reason. I just have to go back and look. But Kelly's I absolutely love because there's not a lot. Actually, there's no chains on the island. It's all mom and pop restaurants, so you can pick any restaurant there, and you know you're supporting the community up there. There's also a little mom and pop grocery store, souvenir shops, stuff like that. You can go fishing in Lake Erie, and it's right across the Sandusky Bay from Cedar Point, which is an amusement park. So even if we wanted to, we probably could be foot. Well, see, the thing is I forgot the other side. I don't know how we get to into the park, but so technically, actually, if I were to do Cedar Point, then I'd probably look at a Marblehead State Park. That way we could at least go over to the island for a day if we wanted to. But it's just a lovely area to camp in.
Dan, if that's the one I'm thinking of, I think I have that one. Hold on, let me click on it. Yeah, I have that
one
and I love
chat,
it.
Yeah.
The 120-watt desktop power supply, it is great. It's even great for like testing devices to see if they're charging or not. Or how quickly they're charging. So if you need to figure out what's wrong with like a Nintendo Switch or something, it's helpful.
That's a beautiful one. I like the fact that it has the independent voltage and amperage on it. That's nice.
Yeah.
Wait, what are you talking about?
Go to the power supply.
The one I posted?
Yeah.
The one I didn't even get a chance to ask a question about yet.
It's awesome. I love it.
Do you have that?
Yes, I do. I got it when I got my Pine Sol.
Here's my question.
I use it first.
It says that it does 5 volts, 3 amps, 9 volts, 3 amps, 12 volts, 3 amps, 15 volts, 3 amps. Like, or if you're looking at the USB-A, it's 5 volt, 3 amps, 9 volt, 2 amps, or 12 volts at 1.5 amps.
It does 20 volts as well.
But how do you switch the voltage, or does it
you
do
don't.
It automatic?
It's automatic.
Your device does it.
Now, yeah. here's my question. Would this be the power supply to hook multiple like Raspberry Pis and or Odroids up with?
You could.
Because the other power supplies like this that I have seen, the USB ones like that, they're all like, well, here's one that has like the 5 volt or the 3.5 volt, and then all the rest are like lower than that.
Yeah, well,
dude, that's a really
the one
good
on the far left
too.
Does the what is it up to
9 volt, 2 amp,
12 volt, 1.5 amp. The one on the far right does 20 volts up to 3.25 amps.
Right.
Now, the other ones will do 5 volt up to 3 amp. And, yeah, 45 watt total. So you should be okay to run multiple Pis off of that. You could run 5 Pis off of that, I think, without causing any major issues. And that's also got wireless charging on the top.
$35.
You can drop your phone on top of it and let it charge. Now, shipping for them is like $20, but if you're buying a bunch of stuff at the same time, then that's fine. And I love the Pine Sol. And if you're buying the Pine Sol, you might as well get tips from them too, because they're a lot cheaper than anywhere else.
See, the problem with the Odroid is it requires 5 volt 4 amp power supply. But the Raspberry Pi should be fine.
The 5-volt 4-amp, you got two items that should be able to do that. Well, no, because they will limit themselves to 3-amp at 5-volt, so...
Wow. But that's still, that's probably one of the best ones I've seen so far. And at $35...
Cheaper, too, yeah. Yeah, you look at any of the anchors that are anywhere close to that in power, and you're looking at $100.
Easy. Hold on, let's go on Amazon and check. 120 watt power supply.
Can you even get one?
Oh, it's giving me a whole bunch of other crap. 10 port, 120 watt, and definitely not as nice.
Mm-hmm. I need to start looking, talking about power. I want to start looking at, possibly for camping. I'd like to pick up like a, maybe the bigger, anchor pack or Jackery for camping. But for the house, I'm really thinking going whole house generator. With the control board that'll cut over when the power goes off, running off natural gas. So I need to find out who I need to call at the HOA to make sure that
aren't that you those like the only allowed. Person in the HOA?
Practically, no.
He's the only resident. There's like 40 other people there that are not residents.
We have 5 people now. One of the neighbors down the...
You should immediately get with them and dissolve your HOA.
Well, I actually kind of like having my grass mowed. So if they would actually come and mow it yet, it doesn't bother me that much.
Oh, they're violating
right
the HOA themselves.
Yeah.
Can you get a discount on your HOA fees? Your dues?
I don't know. I haven't even gotten a bill to pay for those yet, so.
That's why they haven't done it yet. You ain't paid them.
No. Now, I did have, like, now we do, we did this over at my old house, and it's worth every penny of it. And it first came in with, our gas bill. That's how we originally signed up for it. It's a company called Pivotal Home Solutions, and I pay them like, I think it's like $85 a month or something like that. And then if you have something go out, it's like say my washer goes out again. Actually, my washer hasn't gone out, knock on wood. But my dryer has, and that went down 3 times when we were over at the old house. Each time, basically, now, and they recently changed their terms. The first time or two that we used it for the dryer, it ended up, we had to pay like a copay, like $50 or something like that. They came out and fixed it. The last couple times they fixed it, we basically had no copay. So, cool. And they'll do.
We lose them again.
They'll do the same for like the air conditioning and furnace. Not that I need that for that yet, but it'll do that. So
yeah, I'm looking through Amazon and I'm not even seeing anything remotely equivalent.
Yeah, no kidding.
No, nothing like that that would have the LCD with the voltage and ammeters built into it. Yeah. I wonder if you said that one on the left goes all the way to 12 volts.
The one on the left, what was it, 15 volts? Hold on, okay, I'm looking. No, 12 volts, 1.5 amps.
Okay. Ooh, okay, that might not be enough. Because the charger for my DMR radio from Radiodity, or I don't even know how you say their company name, the charger itself is a drop-in charger, but the other end of it plugs into what looks like USB, But you don't want to plug anything that requires 5 volts into it, because you're going to fry it. Because it does, I think it does 12 volts, if I remember right. So I'm almost hesitated permanently super gluing that cable into that charger so I don't accidentally fry something.
So now, the nice thing about that Pine Power charger, I use that to charge my tablet.
There you go.
Like my Dell Latitude, which will take the 20 volts.
Yep.
And then my phone, which will also take the 20 volts.
Right. Yep. But yeah, I mean, that should engage the power delivery circuit, which I think it's what they call it now.
Yeah.
Used to be Qualcomm 3 or whatever it was, Rapid Charge.
It's PD now, yeah.
Yeah, PD, yeah. Dude, I don't need to be talked into buying anything else.
Well, just next time you're planning on buying something from Pine, remember to pick that up as well.
I haven't bought anything from Pine. I'd love to buy a Pinebook Pro, but you can't.
Yeah, they run out of stuff pretty quick. I know that their Pine Time has been pretty popular lately. And what was that one watch that... was it you and Flying Rich were talking about?
The Wise?
The Wise.
Yeah, the Wise smartwatch, which I'm still liking very much.
But now, that doesn't do GPS, right?
Nope. And you can't reply to texts on the watch itself, but you can read them. And it has, like, it has a weather app. You can't load whatever apps that are on it are the ones you got. There's no app store experience. So, and that's where I'm like saying, like, somebody posted, like, I want to say, I think it was like, it might have been Droid Life or something that posted which smartwatch you get, and they were putting it up between the Gear 4 and the Apple Watch.
I'm wow. Like, a $30 watch.
Neither. Yeah.
A $30 to $40 watch compared to those which cost like 500. 300 to 500.
Well, and then I hear now, see, the Gear 4, they're going away, back away from Tizen, back to Wear OS.
Mm.
But there's something in it where they use Samsung's app versus the Wear OS
right,
app.
Yeah. Well, that's, it's always been that way with all of the Samsung watches. And what's even worse is like with the Gear Fit 2, if you want to use like play pause functionality on the watch, you have to be using the Samsung applications on your phone for listening to music
right.
or anything like that. You know, it's so. A different on like the what is it, the Gear Watch 2 Frontier or 3 Frontier or whatever the heck it is.
Right, this had Tizen on it, if I remember right. But now, I'm kind of, well, I don't know. We'll see what happens. I owe, what, I think $500 on my phone yet? And I'm
well,
kind of
$300,000 on the house, so.
Yeah, I know.
I just paid off mine and my wife's phones.
There you go.
The Note 10s. So we're going to hold on to them and enjoy the lower payments for a year
yep.
or two.
Well, not to mention the fact they're not going to bring out a Note 21.
Well, you don't need one when you got that giant Galaxy Fold.
Well, see, and that some people are saying that that might be what puts the nail in the coffin of the Note. I don't think so. But granted, the S21 Ultra will accept the S Pen, but you have to actually buy the S Pen.
Hmm.
It doesn't come with it. But I think what's happening is I think they're just skipping a generation on the Note because the Note 20 still is a really great phone.
Plus, they have way too many phones out. But
right.
Yeah, no, I understand why they're skipping a generation on the Note, but I would also understand if they ended the Note line, because the Note was your phablet replacement, And now you have the, well, it's not the Z3 Fold, because the Z3 Fold's a narrow one, but that could work too, because it does have a larger screen, but their other Fold, whose name I can't remember right now, that giant one.
Well, you got the
three screens.
Fold, you've the fold. Got the, yeah, you got the Fold, then you got the Flip, the Z Flip.
Which is the narrow one.
Right. And then... rumor has it that Microsoft's bringing out a sequel to the Surface phone, which is the what do they call that? Surface Fold? I can't remember. But
yeah, I remember the one you're talking about.
Right. It's Android. It's not Microsoft operating. It's Android, but it's a customized version of it. And I kind of like the way that Microsoft did it better than the Fold, because it doesn't have a folding screen. It just has a hinge. And two screens
butt up against each other. Yeah.
Yep.
It's probably more sturdy.
Yes, I would think it would. The only thing is when they brought out the original, it had kind of mediocre specs. So I'm hoping that the next generation of that makes it more difficult for me to figure out which phone I want to go with. Oh,
I'm glad they brought out the second generations of the Fold phones from Samsung. Right. Because, you know, as it improves, you know, third generation, fourth generation, it's going to get better.
Oh, yeah.
It will become the standard.
Yep. I could see it with that, but lately, of the ones I've seen, I'm not impressed with how the screen looks, especially right around the Fold.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
No, I'm sure that the ones that are out now are better than the first gen ones. And I don't know if you've seen the second gen ones or not.
I have.
Okay. Yeah. But still, it's still second gen. And honestly, the first gen wasn't all that popular because they fell apart and they kind of sucked.
Yep.
So maybe at least they didn't explode. Second gen. Yeah, at least they didn't explode.
Like the, was it the Note 7?
Note 7, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. Right now, I'm still very satisfied with my Note 10. I just got the latest security update this morning, which means August actually went without a security update. But they
delivered
right away.
Yeah, I
figure
next year we're probably going to stop getting updates.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. But yeah, so I'll be ready by the time by that time. Hopefully, probably I'm looking at probably mid. I think I'll be paid off by mid 2022. So, and I'll look at possibly getting something else, but you know, we'll see. That's like right now. I try to think like I think about that time too. I'll be eligible to upgrade my work phone, but right now. If you look on the company that handles MDSL, I think is the company that does our work phones, and if you look on their website, the only iOS device they have is the same one I have. So it's like I'm not caring to look at an upgrade until they have at least the iPhone 12. You know, I don't need the pro on that, it's a work phone. I just need it to run PagerDuty, email, Slack. That's it. I don't do anything else on it.
Right. You know?
So that's why I kind of went with an iPhone. I wanted something dirt simple for my work phone. And the iPhone is.
I haven't had a work phone in a while.
I'm glad I do, because there's those times, like, when I go on vacation, it just stays here.
Yeah. Well,
you know.
I handed my son a Note 5 that I had lying around for whatever reason, just to see how he would do with a phone. It was doing nothing anyway. Yeah, it took him, four hours to break the stylus, 24 hours to break the 3.5 millimeter jack.
Damn.
And then I think at the 72 hour mark, the screen was doing like random presses and shit. But that the random screen press is cleared up. So
okay.
Yeah. And it's only got 32 gigs of internal storage with no way to put on like a put in a micro SD card or anything. I think there's a pretty good reason I skipped the Note 5. But yeah, so what I've done is I've ordered him an S3. I'm not going to put it on a network or anything, but I am going to put a micro SD card in it, and that because he likes audiobooks too. So I'm going to set him up so that he can I can just push audiobooks out to him, and it's going to have a decent sized micro SD card in it, so I can just dump stuff on there.
Yeah.
And he doesn't need anything more powerful than an S3. Yeah, it will end up on online, but I'm not worried about it not getting updates or anything.
It's like, have you ever seen, I think it's 91 Tech?
No.
The channel? I think it's 91 Tech. I'll have to see if I can find one of the videos that I've watched. But he does is X device still good in this year? So like he did one on the iPad 2, he did one on a few others.
It's not like I'm expecting him to play games on it or anything, but...
Right.
For the simple things that he's going to do with it, it's going to work perfectly fine.
Right. Yeah, 91 Tech. Like, the one I watched yesterday is using the Samsung Galaxy S4 in 2021.
I'm sure if you just want a phone, then it's perfectly fine.
Probably. And Dan would have kept using his Nexus 5 forever if it lasted that long.
Yeah, well... Right.
And if he destroys the S3, it costs me $30.
There you go.
That's only because the other S3s I found were destroyed.
Yep.
By his siblings.
Kids are rough on phones.
Yep.
Well, yeah, I don't know if you guys knew, but Link and his wife bought a new house. And they're putting their condo on up on the market. They moved to Lindsay, California.
Oh, so when's he going to be on the show again?
That's a good question. It's tough with the time difference. and his kidney failure thing, you know. He has to give himself dialysis every night. But, yeah, I'd love to have him on the show again. If you're listening, Link, come on. Let's get on some night.
Hey, if you're stuck on the dialysis machine anyway, come and tell us all about it.
Yeah. So he moved, and then of course we got an email from Pat, which I think Eastern PA is getting dumped on by the remnants of Ida, and he's got water coming through into his crawl space, which is not good. We actually had a fair amount yesterday, I think between 2 and 3 inches, I'm thinking. Only thing I could find is one of those color maps, and I can't quite figure out what color we're on. But last night after work, I asked them what they wanted for work, and I was kind of lately. I've been getting to the end of the day, and I'm like dog tired. Didn't want to do anything. Didn't want to cook. I did cook tonight, although I cheated. I did everything in the microwave. So I drove over from here to the other side of town to go get some Burger King because I was feeling the need to eat some of that meat.
Yeah, you had a quarter pound of beef in your mouth?
No, I didn't get the double whopper because that's too much. Well, actually, practically did. I got a Bacon King, but anyway, Stringtown Road, which is the main drag that's up north of us, then there's another road down south of us, Ohio 665, and Stringtown Road will turn into, when you get into like what I would call the old section of town of Grove City, but it's like where all the businesses initially cropped up, you know, so it's the older section of town. The street was practically flooded. It probably had about 6 inches of water across the street, and everyone's driving through it, including me. Fortunately for me, I have a big-ass SUV, and I wasn't worried about water logging in. But some of the parking lots were just completely flooded. So on the way home, I kind of went a different way home to avoid that mess, and drove up onto the I-270 to get home, and that was a little bit faster because people were going so slow in that, and that's rightly so, because really you should be driving in water that deep. But I did, so it was okay. But we had a lot of rain from that hurricane, and I don't have to water my grass anymore.
We've had enough water this year that I really haven't had to water at all.
Texas got lucky. It's usually dry as F.
Yeah, I know. I've been here for like 20 years now.
That means your yard is like green now.
Yeah. It looks pretty good. It's filled in pretty well in the front. Because like usually my trees just soak up all the moisture.
Right.
So everything under it's completely dead. But there's been enough rain that it hasn't been able to soak it all up, and the grass is actually growing.
Yeah. And I know Virginia's always damp.
Yeah, well, you know, it's humid, but it hasn't rained an awful lot. And like, there were, like, we'll go for 2 weeks without, like, regular rain. So it might rain like once a week for like an hour or so, and then it used to be like we had fairly frequent storms come through. Now, granted, we're in hurricane season right now, so luckily everything so far has been going opposite directions from where I am, and knock on wood, hopefully it keeps that way.
Yeah.
It's starting to get to that point now. Like, for a couple of weeks, it was, you wake up in the morning and the grass was just, the humidity was nasty, so the grass was just wet all the way up in the late afternoon, which made it kind of difficult to mow sometimes. But this past week, it's been like, I can get up and mow in the morning because the grass hasn't been that, like, that humid where it's dripping wet and not being able to dry it out.
Yeah, I got to start mowing my own lawn again.
You got a little bit of rain from that, from those remnants too, but it doesn't look like you got as bad as what PA got, probably.
Oh, absolutely not. Like I said, I'm trying to remember now. When it rained today, like it's been raining off and on throughout the day, and it's just been coming through in like quick spurts. And before that, I'm not. It's been over a week since it rained. If I recall correctly. Here, where I am.
Yep.
The weird thing is, like, it could be dry as a bone here, and then just across the water, which is only like a few miles away, it's pouring down rain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of how I won't say it was a wet summer, but it wasn't extremely dry like it can be sometimes up here. But it has been super hot and super late for being super hot. I don't remember it being so hot this far into into August. I mean, usually our hot time is pretty much over by the time we're through mid August, but that's not the case here. But and yeah, here I am. It's September. We closed our house in July, and I still don't have a key for our mailbox out in the set. The story goes is the builder didn't put enough mailboxes in yet to give everyone keys. So the post office is either isn't doing it or they can't do it because they don't have enough keys yet. So I don't know what's going on with that, but it hasn't been too problematic getting mail. Like today, trying to think. My wife or my son got some meds from Medco that does our 90-day supplies. So that came today. And then I got I had enough Good Boy points in the work system saved so I can get an Amazon card. And I got a $20 Amazon gift card. And I spent that on a actually it's $25 if I remember right. But I spent that on I think I'm starting to collect the Eagle Moss / Hero Collector starships, starting with the Enterprises. So I ordered the Enterprise B, which is the one from Generations. So and sitting in my office here, and so that came today. That was via UPS, I think. And then Amazon delivered my roll of black filament, some solder for my joystick project, and the buttons. It's interesting with the buttons. I couldn't buy just one button. I had to buy six. But they were only $10, so it wasn't too bad. But that came today, too. So that kind of stuff has been okay. Getting delivery of food to the
house. You're
only
going to build one controller and not two?
Well, I had to buy another joystick to build two, but... And source another cable. See, I'm kind of cheating a little bit because I'm hoping everything is still soldered on to that joystick. If it's not, then I'll have to go find the pinout for the D9 for the joystick.
To wire you should it be up. Able to buy another broken joystick on eBay. For
oh yeah,
not much.
I need to check out. I've heard from my coworker who happens to live in town. We used to work together at the college. He's now working on my team, and he said there's a store up here called Half Price Books that can have that stuff sometimes.
Sometimes
you can go into a thrift store and find it too, but I actually need to start looking at the thrift stores because sometimes. That's where you can find the best deal on some of the retro computers and game consoles.
Goodwill used to be really good for that, but then they figured out there's this thing called the internet.
Yep.
And so all of their might-be-good stuff ends up on there.
Yeah, we got one called Ohio Thrift here. They don't have a website as far as I know. But that's something to think about. Start looking in there for some of the things because a lot of times they put them on eBay. Like if you look on eBay now for Apple IIc, you're probably looking between one that needs a lot of TLC, it'll probably be about $100. And one that's actually in good working order is probably going to cost you between $400 and $500.
Yeah, even the prices on like PSPs has gone up in the last few months, even broken ones. No more fun for me.
Broken headphones too, huh?
Well, I have so many now that I haven't even been looking.
Interesting.
I bought that one set off of that guy that was closing up his business, and so I have this giant box of broken headphones that I got to figure out things to do with. I mean, some of them, the hinges, you can't find replacements for the hinges, so I either got to 3D design or design and 3D print the hinges myself, or fixes for the hinges, or make them single-sided and design a pad to fit over the where the hinge is broken. Why yuck?
I don't know. Oh, wait. Actually, it's even worse here, okay? Apple IIc, well, let's see. Hold on. This might have more than just that. So I think it has the a monitor and the Apple IIc. $720 on eBay. But it's got, it says Apple. I'm confused about this. I'm going to have to scroll through it. But it says Apple IIc, 2C computers, which I'm like, okay, they never made a 2C, 2C. Is 2C with the two I's and 2C with a two. Computer. It says computers, monitors, printer, joystick, manuals, games, and more. So it may end up being, that might not be a bad deal because it may end up being more than one system.
Yeah, I'd want to know first. With your luck, it'd probably be just the manuals.
Yeah, for $700, yeah. Actually, that's the starting bid. He ain't going to get that.
Especially not with that description.
Especially since the system looks like shit. It's got a whole bunch of stickers and stuff on it. Yeah, you can do better than that.
For that price, yeah, I imagine you could.
Now this is interesting. See, somebody's selling Apple II Raspberry Pi emulator with a great software collection for $599. What is that?
Micro SD card?
Probably.
Probably an 8 gig.
Yeah. Now it says fully featured Apple II emulator compatible with Raspberry Pi models 2B, 3B, 3.0.
Yeah, it's 3. Just the micro SD card.
Yep, that's probably what it is. This is, yeah, Apple II pre-built emulator image with software collection, images, recording utility.
It might not even be the micro SD card. It might just email you a link to the image.
Yeah. Don't waste your $6, because you can build your own. You can install the Apple II emulator on any Pi, or on RetroPie. Yep.
It's about that time, isn't it?
Yeah, we gotta wrap this up. Oh, what am I looking for? Looking for the promos, right?
I guess.
Yeah. Oh wait, no. Oh my goodness. All right. Hope everybody has a nice, safe, and happy
Labor Day.
And we'll see you in a week. Here it is, your promos. Come on. Come on. Oh, I hate it when it does this.
So do I.
Yeah, me too. I don't know why it's not. Like, I don't know why this thing keeps freezing up. Not freezing. I don't know what it's doing. Like, the network seems to go down on it. It's really weird. I gotta update. No, the network's there. Why is it not? Oh, baby, baby. Now I gotta.
Oh my god.
I know. Becky. I'm like.
Oh like, my god, Becky. God.
Alright, here we go. Let's just start it again.
Oh my god, it's
Hacker Public Radio.
There you go.
Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
My name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called LibreQuest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.com.
I am short.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
While you were making it poo young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
All right. Gotta put this show together. Stop all the recording.
I got a roast in the freezer. I'm debating whether I want to put that on the grill Saturday. That sounds good.
Saturday? What are you going to do on Monday?
Not a damn thing.
Well, are you going to cook something on Monday?
I don't know. Debating. Actually, I need to ask. We had my in-laws over Sunday. Which that was nice. I cooked some steaks on the grill. I'm debating. I don't know if she actually threw out the invite to her older brother and her and his wife to have them come down or not. Or if we're invited up there, because that might be a possibility too. They almost always have something going on either Labor Day or something. But I don't know if they are or not, considering they just help my nephew get married to his girlfriend. So, but anywho,
Well, I'm gonna stop this recording so I can get this out. Yeah,
the autism spectrum, and he gets really bad anxiety when you cover his face like that. To the point where he would probably get violent if somebody tried to force him.
Right. So the best thing
for
him
was withdraw out of the in-person classes, and he's taking online classes. That's exactly what he's doing. He doesn't want to do that, but he's at least trying it and trying to figure out a way to work around it. And now, granted, he's only taken like one class, but.
No, and see, yeah, let them take the virtual, but like the virtual here, there are a couple of high schools around here that are completely virtual that technically we could enroll the kids in, but there are very few, and they're 4 to 6 week wait lists right now. And my kids have other problems too. I mean, it would be fine for maybe Tala, but it definitely wouldn't be good for JoJo because they won't cover his disabilities and his GT. Learning disabilities.
Does he have an IEP?
JoJo has the IEP and Tala has the 504.
That may be enough that you could get them somewhere else and have them help pay for the tuition.
It should be. And we went through this the last time we had a legal battle with them, but they're trying to split hairs on the whole subject.
Yeah.
Because I think I mentioned it last time. They're splitting hairs because the whole issue is she has environmental intolerance, idiopathic environmental intolerance, which affects her immune system and the tumor. But anyways, the IEI, anything can really set off her allergies. So if she goes to a new place and it causes a problem, she has to leave. If she continues to go there, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse and be more of a problem. This also affects her immune system. But because what's going on is not specifically allergy related, but is related to her IEI, they won't let her stay home. They should be. This should have been covered.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
2 years ago when I took them to court. But they're doing this to everybody. Yeah, I already told them that. I told them about the girl with the heart condition that's waiting on a transplant. So yeah, they're letting no one, no exceptions do virtual.
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous.
Unless the kid is like a paraplegic or something, then they might make an exception. Nope. Bedridden or hospitalized. Well, we could get a note from Tala's doctor saying that she's bedridden. No, the doctor won't do it.
I'm not going to ask him to break that. That's some ethics there.
How close is she to graduation?
This is her senior year.
Ah. Well, it would suck for her to miss her senior year.
Well, yeah, it sucked for her to miss her junior year. Yeah. It sucked for her to basically be in the detention center her entire freshman year because she couldn't go to the regular freshman center because it set off her IEI. So she had like one regular year of high school, and that was it.
Kind of ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. North Texas, not a great place to be right now.
Well, I got fun stuff to talk about. I've decided I'm going to...
Wait for the show to start before you talk about it?
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
I've been messing around with the Pine phone again, and I got plans for Raspberry Pi that I got up and running again.
There you go.
This is 920. Let's kick it like it's real.
500 higher than 420.
There you go. You're right. All right. Here we go.